Blog Talk Radio.
We're on the air live, and I've got a wonderful author with me. Her name is Sky McDonald. I'm your host, Tricia Harley McCarthy. This is all about romance. It's a platform for authors, poets, and writers alike who love everything about romance, and just like I do. And today's guest is Sky McDonald. She has written two books, and we're going to talk to her about her Auntie Belle. I love the series name. It's totally cool because I'm kind of a rebel too and kind of a tomboy, and I think it's kind of maybe what she's alluding to with her series name. So I want to welcome Sky. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I am very happy to have you, and I loved our prior show conversation because I think you have a lot to say about the author world and all the wonderful stuff, and then there's sometimes not so wonderful stuff. And let's talk about your series. I'm very interested in it. I have 100,000 books to read, obviously, like we all do, and I want to know more about your books because I have looked at them. I just haven't had the opportunity or the time yet to read them, but I will definitely want to read them.
Wonderful. Thank you. And, of course, I do understand that TBR pile all too well. I have two books out currently. The first one released in September, and the second one dropped December 10th. So I'm writing, as you said, the Auntie Belle series, and I'm so glad you like the name. And you're absolutely immediately an Auntie Belle, so welcome to that. But the series is, of course, my whole shtick around the Auntie Belle name, that came to me because the series is set in my hometown, which is Nashville, Tennessee. And so thinking about, like, words that sort of played on the South, I thought of the word antebellum, and I also thought of the word bell, like a Southern belle, like a little lady.
Right.
But I liked the idea of anti-belle because my ladies in the books are very savvy, very smart. They're working their way through life on their own, and they have to love themselves before they can claim their true love happily ever after with another person. So all that to say, book one is not suitable for work, which is probably pretty clearly an office place, Rivals to Lovers Romance. And like I said, it came out in September, and then book two is off the record, and that is a standalone novel. All the books will be standalone, but it is the second in the series, and it is I'm calling it a second chance secret rock star, but the rock star doesn't get the love interest romance. So you got a lot going on there.
I noticed that a lot of authors are kind of inventing their own subgenres maybe, and I love that because you got to kind of find your niche, and that's great. I love that.
Uh-huh.
Are the characters from the first book also in the second book? Does it follow the characters? Oh, cool. Okay.
Kind of. So in the first book, the main characters are Celeste and Ben. And in that book, you meet the people they know. And so friends, family, colleagues, whatever. And then as the series goes through, the different characters that you've met become the main characters. So the other characters become side characters. So Celeste and Ben go from being the love story to they are an established couple in the second book. And because it's no spoiler, when you're reading a romance, they end up together. But they're an established couple, and so they are friends/family to the main character of Nick in Off the Record. And so they're like his cheering squad as he's going through his own ups and downs of falling in love.
Cool. And how would you classify your books? Are they angsty? Are they steamy? How do you classify them?
Well, you know, it's funny that you just said people are inventing their own subgenre because I'm going to call mine steamy, but it almost sounds smug to say literary. Okay, so they're almost a women's fiction in terms of the amount of character development. They're definitely a romance in terms of the fact that it is a double point of view. The man and the woman both speak first person. And it is very, very, like, based on the tropes of happily ever after, the black moment, all of that. But they deal a lot with soul growth, character growth, overcoming the trials of life. And, like I said, just learning to love yourself before you can claim your happily ever after. So there's a lot of development of the plot, but there's a lot of sex, too. So,
okay.
So
a friend of mine and I, so we were talking about different, how do you classify your book? You know, is it steamy?
Mm-hmm.
Is it sweet? Is it hot? You know, and I go, well, you know, I don't know. Because one person's steam is a different, you know, it's a different level to another person.
True.
You know, steamy. Steamy could be, you know, just someone could kiss you on the wrist, and that's totally sensual and sexy, but not go any further, and that could be steamy, you know. So I think it's everyone's take on it. So
it's so funny. I have a wrist kiss in Off the Record, but it's definitely leading to a lot more sex. I'm with you, and it is interesting the different, like, levels and people's desire for, like, how much you want. The reviews that I got from Not Suitable for Work, I was almost surprised how many people were like, "Ooh, this is a hot one." But it is because it features multiple sex scenes, but it's not erotica because it's not the sex driving the plot, and it's not particularly, like, there's not, like, it's not like a niche of steaminess, you know, there's just multiple interactions. So, it is kind of funny, like, how you class that. You get your fair amount of steam with the Anti-Bell series. I'll say that much.
So mine is more story-driven. So, and I consider mine steamy, you know. I have some humor in mine, and, you know, but it does get dramatic. So I'm kind of wondering what I would classify mine as steamy, second chance. Humorous. I don't know.
See,
and this is another.
Mine will make you laugh too.
Yes. Well, see, that's great. You provide all that to your reader, and that's good, because I've read some. I mean, I'm sure you've read some stuff that's so intense that by the time you get done with it, you're totally exhausted mentally. Because it's so intense. So, I mean, I love those stories too. But at the same time, you know, I would like to read something like you're talking about, like your books, how you could have a variety of everything and add to it. I can tell by your personality, you've got a lot of sass, you've got a lot of humor, I like that. No, I'm not. And I think we jive because I'm very much like, I'm very sarcastic. I don't mean to be, but I can be very sarcastic. But if people get my humor, then they understand it's nothing personal.
Yep.
It's just how I am. And that's kind of how it's a defense mechanism, you know. It's kind of how.
Oh, totally.
It's very fair. And, you know, I
love a nice light read, something that's, and then I also, I can be in a book for the feels as well. I like to think that mine maybe sounds like yours too. It's like a combination of that. One of my very early readers, I almost, like, just want to put this as, like, a quote on the book. She said, "I laughed, I cried, I got the tingles." And I was like, okay.
That would be a great tag.
That's all I wanted. I know. I feel like I do need to put that as a tag. It's like,
I think you should.
What a quote.
Yeah.
I laughed, I cried,
excellent.
I got the tingles. And
tingles.
That's all I wanted to do. So,
hooray. Make sure you don't say tinkle, because that could throw a monkey in the wrench, you know.
Then it's all different kind of a genre, isn't it now?
Yeah, okay. I don't even want to think about that.
No, the possibility. Move on.
So let's talk about kind of the darker side of being an author and the challenges that we face as we have to you know, we have, I do know we have a supportive group on Instagram. That is one thing I do know. However, the downside of that, there's also a lot of competition. And personally, for me, I'm not a competitive person. I'm a supportive person. So I think there's a double-edged sword when it comes to authors and maybe the competitiveness and, you know, getting your name out there and doing whatever you need to do. And what's your take on all that?
Wow. So it's interesting. It's funny that you say, because, again, I feel like there's a lot of connection here. I am also not a competitive person. I've lived, like, I'm not here to give you my whole backstory, but I've, like, living in New York City and making my own career in teaching and everything, there's been a lot of time where I've had to be very intense in my world, and I'm not here for that. In terms of competition among writers, I feel like it's not. Although you're right that there is competition, I just feel like a good book is a good book. And what I really love is when writers come together to boost each other. Because if you read one book, you could read another book. It's not like we're selling, you know, sofas where you're going to buy the one and that's going to be it for your 10 years. Like, if I'm working with readers in a reader's community, then I prefer the approach of like, oh, you liked that? Read this one now. But it can be very difficult. And it's also difficult just getting your foot in the door in terms of, even if you've got a great book, having somebody make noise about it enough that other people will go, oh, I'll read that. It is, you know, I will say that in my online community, both on Twitter and Instagram, the amount of, gosh, just like love and support and friendship and feedback that I've gotten from all the wonderful people I've met, everything from fellow authors to book bloggers to podcasters, it's been really beautiful. And I've enjoyed being able to collaborate with people on different types of promotions, different types of things. I think that it's difficult and frustrating because it's such a huge market. But at the same time, too, I feel really grateful to have found so many wonderful people that I would call it more of a collaboration.
Right. Yeah. And I couldn't agree with you more. I do find, however, on occasion, I do find people are kind of clicky. And I shy away from that because, you know, if that's not me, I don't do that. I kind of, you know, I have my own shtick I do. So I shy away from that. And I think that's kind of where I find that my voice gets drowned out because I'm not aggressive when it comes to those types of situations. Like in a group chat, for example, would be where I feel like I get looked over a lot. And, you know, if I say,
your gift You gotta make the gift game strong. If you can throw the right gif up there or the right meme, you're all in, girl. Come on. That's what this is all about, really.
Yeah, I think I shy away from it though. I honestly, because I'm not aggressive like that. Sometimes I can be, but I'm usually kind of the observer more so than the, you know, instigator, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of a little introvert and extrovert at the same time. It's kind of that Gemini thing I got going on.
Thing. I hear you. Well, I'm an Aquarius, and I am an introvert. But I'm not shy. So
yeah,
people always confuse introversion with shyness. It's not the same thing at all. It has to do with where you gain your energy, and I gain mine through times of solitude. But I am very happy to be in front of a large group of people. I'm very happy to talk with people and work with people. I mean, obviously, I have to be, or I wouldn't be a teacher.
Would be a little difficult.
But the social media world is a funny beast overall. You're absolutely right. It is clicky. It can be absolutely absurd, and of course, the hugest of time vampires. But you know,
yes.
at the same time too, like I do feel like I've gotten to meet in reality or and also virtually some really excellent people. So I guess like with anything, it's like if this is work, I guess, and that kind of goes back to what it's like to be a self-published author. Is this working? Yes, I'm going to keep doing it. If it's not working, I'd better go do something else because I have a goal here and I want to meet that one. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you know, I just bring that up because someone rubbed me the wrong way, you know, yesterday. I was like, and so
you're a little smarting from something. Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, usually I kind of let it go and I don't make a big deal out of it. But, you know, sometimes you just got to stand up and say something because otherwise,
mm-hmm.
you know, you get run over in this world, unfortunately. But, you know,
it's true.
But I'm also a sensitive soul. So, you know, I could take things the wrong way. And unfortunately, in mm-hmm. the platform of social media, someone can write something to you and you're looking at it and you're going, what the hell? You know, it doesn't mean what they, doesn't mean how, it, there's no heat in it, but you take it as heat.
Uh-huh.
And you don't know what
uh-huh.
they mean by it. So the miscommunication is a big misnomer on, I think, on social media. Because
on social media, on dating apps, on text messages, you are so right. Like what I read
yes.
into it and what I meant for it to be, even for authors, we're like, wait, is that what I meant to say? And of course, then of course you get the creepy DMs or the creepy comments on a post where it's I'm going to give you 1 minute to delete that or else we're going to have some issues. Don't be a creep. Thank you so much. That can be, of course, you're always, and of course, being a romance author, you're always kind of walking that line of like, how much do I give like the heat and the spice, in terms of like generating interest. And then how much am I like making sure that people understand that this is my content and I'm not actually inviting you to like
right.
consider it a
That's
personal
not-
invitation. Right? Yes.
Well, it was funny that you say that because I did a promo and I had it was a banner promo and it had a couple on there and I looked at the demographics of who was looking at this ad. The majority were men, which shocked me. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I was really blown away by that.
That's so interesting. On the one hand, it's like, and on the other hand, it's like, cool, more men should read romance.
Yeah.
So,
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I do have a beta reader who's a male, which is good because,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's
yep.
very, very blunt
yep.
to the point of like, ooh, okay. But he goes, well, you know, that's so unrealistic. You know, the men
mm-hmm.
that you write about are so unrealistic. Yeah, and that's another fine line you have to walk, right? The fantasy versus the reality type of
sure.
story and type of character
sure.
you create. And so, you know, I
have a male beta.
That, yeah, good.
Uh-huh. I have one too. I found him to be invaluable. Like, especially since, as I
yep.
said, I do the dual POV, having a guy talk, it's really helped to have a man read it and actually give me, like, okay, no, he wouldn't say that. My male beta is both, like, very, very good at giving the feedback. He's a great writer in his own right, but also it's like he will, as you say, not pull any punches. It's like, nope, that's not working. I'm like, okay, thank you. But yeah, no, I just think it's great. Yeah.
You get it right between the eyes. And, you know, I've learned not to take anything a beta will tell me, you know, badly, because unfortunately you do have the betas that just they love everything. You know, you can't, I don't know if you're going to ever get away
mm-hmm.
from that, but, that can be annoying a little bit.
Yeah, beta reading is an interesting, like, partnership when you enter in.
Yes.
I was just talking about that the other day. Probably. Because there's no given that this, just because you two write in the same genre or in the same subgenre, that that's going to be a match. Like, you have to feel, test the waters. And, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, this is not the kind of feedback that I wanted. And then sometimes it's like, oh, no, this is a perfect match. So it's really it's really magical when you get that kind of connection with somebody. Like, I think it's a true, like the people that I use regularly on my beta reading, like, I put them in my acknowledgments pages every time because the books would not be what they are without them. I feel that very strongly.
Right. Absolutely. And I am so blessed to have a core of people around me that are just they're just so supportive and wonderful and have been with me for a very long time. And you can't buy that kind of loyalty, or you can't buy that kind of friendship, because a lot of them are my friends, you know, and
absolutely.
And one in particular, she's my story consult, but I call her a story consult. She's also a beta reader. She's also very blunt, which I adore that about her, because I need that. I need that. And so she keeps me honest. You know, we'll plot chapters together, and I go, "What did you do in the last chapter?" And she'll tell me, and I'm like, "Thank you," because I can't always remember everything, you know, when we're talking about going forward.
To that question, are you a plotter?
No.
Nope. Pantser, then.
I'm a pantser. Yeah. Is it? Yeah. Yes. I'm a pantser. And it works somehow. I can't even tell you how it works half the time because, you know, I'll start out with a story.
You don't have to.
And then And it's amazing
how. I'm a pantser, too. I have never plotted a novel in my life. I write down ideas if I have them.
Yeah.
Novels usually come to me as like a singular scene, or sometimes it'll be a character, but oftentimes it's just a scene, and I have to work out in my mind like how the story builds around that. But yeah, no, I have never plotted a novel. I could not imagine doing it. I mean, maybe someday I'll try. I don't know, but we'll see. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do a character outline, so I have all the descriptions, what they do, what they look like. I have all that, so I've learned the hard way where I had to go back and change eye colors and stuff in a manuscript that had already been published. That's what I started doing there. But then do a little description of the storyline. So that's about as far as I go as far as that. I've plotted out like chapters because I was being mentored by an established author, and she goes, "Well, you need to do this, and you need to do that." And I found it wasn't working for me because, unfortunately, when you get into the chapter, it goes a totally different direction than what you had plotted. So
absolutely.
Characters have different
that's
ideas.
One of the things for me. It's like, however your brain works, go all in. But for me, I have a process I call like ripping out the seams. So I don't actually sew, but I'm familiar with the concept of sewing. And so there'll be times when I'll be going along a path with the novel, and I can, like, I'm actually imagining somebody I know right now basically convulsing with like horror at this story. But so sorry for you plotter writers who are listening, but like sometimes I'll go down a path with a novel and I'll be like, oh, this isn't working. And I'll quote unquote rip out the seams and go back to a point and start again. And so like there's one novel in my series that I had to restart the beginning like four or five times because I couldn't quite figure out why the female character was doing what she was doing. And so I had to keep starting over to get, like, the right stride. But, yeah, but then there are times, like, mid-novel, so going back to your chapter point, where it's like, oh, this isn't working. I need to go backwards a few steps. So, but, yeah, I know. Sorry for those plotters out there. I know that that's basically, like, blasphemous. I understand. But that's just the way the brain works over here for Sky. Sorry about that.
They're popping that Xanax for sure, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, wow. Yeah. Sorry. It's the way it works for me.
Like, my current work in progress is called Taboo, and the best friend in the story, she has this ex who's not a very nice person. And the next thing I know, I'm writing that he's a psychopath. Psychopath guy shows up in the story, and I'm like, whoa. And, you know, the scary part is, I was getting feedback, and I go, oh, my God, you write a really good psychopath. And I'm like, great.
That's amazing. You're like, I'm afraid of myself right now. I'm afraid of myself.
I go, where? I don't know about you, but I kind of binge watch at times Discovery ID, and that's all the, Wives with Knives, and, How to Murder, and A Thousand
research,
One Ways
girl.
To Murder,
research.
Murder for
Come
Dummies,
on.
You know? Yeah, I know. And,
yep.
But you do get ideas, and I did get a few ideas from some of these really sad stories, and one of them actually made it into my other second work in progress. That was the very beginning, was this one show I wrote. So it's an interesting book. It's called Staircase in the Woods. And I got, and I wanted to ask you how you get your ideas. This idea came from an actual Reddit story about these weird staircases out in the middle of the woods. There's no structures. There's nothing. They're just these weird staircases. And people go around these stairs, find them in the woods, and they get freaked out by it because the energy around it is really weird and strange. And a lot of them feel it's a portal to hell, or it's really cool because I'm totally a paranormal person. So this I latched onto it. And so
Now I've got a new thing to go down a rabbit hole in and on the internet, so thanks for that. And now I'm going to have to read the book ASAP because, just those words, staircase in the woods, like my brain can perfectly picture this as like a magical thing. That sounds amazing. I'm also thinking of Outlander, like when she went to the stones and got teleported back in time. The Scottish have a term for that. What is it called? A thin spot? A
veil? Like a portal?
But they have, it's like a thin space or a thin place. And that is where like the veil between us and the other dimensions are thin. So
exactly.
Scott very much. And of course my last name is McDonald. So like I actually am like, and actually this is not, Skye is a pen name, but the McDonald's hail from the Isle of Skye in Scotland. So like, I'm kind of like on that. But yeah, they have this whole theory about like thin places where the veil is thin. So that's very interesting.
Right. Yeah. And I have a paranormal book out called Dimensions, believe it or not.
So you're just adding to my TBR right now. See what you're doing. You're just adding on. Thank you so much.
I know.
No, seriously. Thank you, though. That's amazing.
Yeah. No. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, not at all. I'm super interested in all this.
Oh, The Staircase in the Woods is on chapter 2. I haven't gone past it, so I'm still working on 2 novels at the same time. Let me ask you, where you get your inspiration for stories? Where a lot of people get different inspiration for their stories.
That's a fun question. And the answer is, it's a very mixed bag. So starting with Not Suitable for Work, I had a vision of 2 desks in the center of an empty office. And I thought to myself, who would be there and why? And from there, just kind of unfolded this whole story. I don't know. So that's where book 1 came from. Book 2, gosh, I don't want to give away too much. I had this concept of a woman, I almost don't want to spoil, I had this concept of a woman who, well, all we'll say is she was hiding her identity. But then I also had already met the main character, the guy who is Nick. book three was one where I had a scene in mind, and I don't want to give away too much, but it was a very steamy scene of, like, these two people basically having a fight and it turning into, like, something incredibly passionate. But I've gotten, you know, sometimes it's just, like, a character who's appearing in the story, they start kind of, quote-unquote, talking to me more and more, and then sometimes it's things like being at the U.S. Open tennis competition. I had an idea there, and I ended up writing a novella about a tennis player, a female tennis player. And then I was listening to one of my favorite musical artists, Harry Chapin, and one of his songs just put a book in my head. I was like, and it was just there. And so it was very, just sort of like a bolt of inspiration. So all of it, it really, really varies, but it's always a very interesting moment where you get that vibration and you're like, oh, yeah, okay. I see what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Yeah. I was driving down the road. I was listening to this radio station. They were talking about this woman who had stolen money from her fiancé. It happened to be on the... Oh, stole the money for his bachelor party from his friend and absconded with it. And so I love that. I go, oh my gosh, that is such a good plot twist. You know, it's not something you hear every day. So that ended up in one of my books.
Excellent.
That was funny. So it just, you're right. It just comes from different ways. You know, it's nothing that you have the idea and then all of a sudden something else comes along and it makes it gel, which I love. That was always a fun thing for me. Like I said before, I'm a pantser, so everything, I don't have the whole picture or the puzzle together yet, but it's the different pieces start coming together, and I love that process, how that works.
One of my favorite things is, and talk about sounding like a psychopath, if you're not a writer and you're listening to this, you're going to think I sound like one, but I promise that all the writers who are listening are like, yep. But one of my favorite things, I love the inspiration vibe, but I love it almost even more when I'm writing, again, Panther, but I'm writing a character and they're acting a certain way and I can't figure out why they're acting that way. And then there's that moment where they kind of whisper to you. And they're like, this is what's happened to me that is making me do this. And you're like, oh, okay. Which is a super, like I said, I found delusional, but if you have ever like gotten characters to come out of your head, like it's a thing they will do. They will literally tell you, this happened to me. So I've had characters tell me everything from the fact that I don't want to give away too much, but none of this is in any of the upcoming books. So I've had characters tell me they've had to have an abortion. I've had characters tell me that, like, a parent had died in the past, and I didn't realize that when I started the story, and then it was like, oh, okay, crazy, I know, or crazy is a harsh term these days, but it's a thing that happens. It's very, very interesting.
I love all that. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I actually write in my sleep. If I'm in what I call that zone, I haven't been there for a while because of everything else going on externally. So, but they will talk to me in my sleep. I'm like, shut up. I'm trying to sleep. I can't write it if I'm tired. It's funny. I love that. That's the intensity. That's how intense writers get, I think, is to the way the world just falls away, and it's just you and the characters, you and the page, you and the keyboard, whatever it is, you know. Speaking of which,
you know, that's
do you
the
have
funny
any
thing
rich...
is like... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to ask you if you have any writing rituals that you do.
You know, honestly... No, I don't like a cluttered space, so I'll need to keep it tidy because if not, it distracts me. Music. Sorry?
No, you're my kindred spirit when you just said that, seriously.
Yeah. I do like music, and I do need a beverage. So depending on the time of day and my mood, beverage could be coffee, water, whiskey, or wine. But I do need that. My corgi, my dog, he stands close by. In fact, I used to have a profile picture on Twitter of, like, I'm sitting at my desk. It's like, it was not taken by me. So it's like my back, I'm at the desk, I'm at the keyboard, and my little Winston is sitting right next to me. It's very cute. But I don't really have any, like, I don't know. I don't have any, like, talismans that I use when I'm writing. Like, I have my crystals, but I don't really activate them or, like, work with them when I'm writing.
Oh,
so
No, I'm not saying you put together a voodoo doll of your character or anything like that. I think when I said rituals, I think I meant just exactly what you discussed. And I'm very much the same way. The room has to be tidy. I have to blast Nickelback. Sorry, people. and have something to drink, because that's important. Yeah. That's important. And, you know, just me and myself and my keyboard and my, you know, my music. And so in a clean space. So that's really key for me to write, because I cannot write in disorder. If it's chaos or no, I can't do that.
And I struggle with that because I'm not a messy person, but I'm not the most organized of people. So like my desk especially can become like a place I just lay things down. So yeah, there's like a certain amount of like patience with the cleaning up process first, because it's like I can't just leave it. I need to be able to look around and just have like a flow.
Who's some of your favorite authors, by the way? Curious.
My favorite authors? In the genre or out?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, my gateway, I've been talking about this a little bit lately, my gateway into the romance genre was actually 50 Shades. I was not one who grew up on Fabio and Harlequin. in fact, we didn't read romance novels. Romance was not a thing of my family or my background. But I always loved love stories. But 50 Shades was my first actual full-on romance novel to read. But then my favorite, like the thing that really opened the door for me, was Christina Lauren and The Beautiful Bastard, the Beautiful series, and then The Wild Seasons. Both of those series, I think, are just so much fun and such really good romance. Other favorite authors in the genre, Bella Andre. I like her. Mm-hmm. I like the way she has sweeping standalone romance, like connectedness that goes a lot with me. I love Brenna Aubrey. Her Gaming the System, series is great. It's deep girls. It's super fun. Lucy Parker, she's also a lot of fun with her West End series, her London Celebrities. Ember Casey, she's also great. And then, of course, my partner in podcasting, Sarah Smith. She just released Faker in early October. And right now I am reading, and I've also been collaborating a lot with J.L. Peridot, who is an Australian author. And both of those I, of course, have to shout out. Outside of the genre, I'm actually deep into dystopia and science fiction. And in fact, fun trivia fact, I actually teach sci-fi and fantasy as a 12th grade English class in my day job.
Cool.
Yeah. But my favorites there would be Ursula Le Guin, Margaret Atwood, Jeffrey Eugenides, not fantasy, but general fiction. I loved Middlesex and The Virgin Suicides. A fun, like, paperback read that's super fun is Jonathan Tropper. He's a lot of fun with his books. I really enjoy those. And of course, as you ask me this, like, I'm desperately pulling things out of my brain, because as soon as we stop talking about this, I'm going to be like, oh, and of course, so and so. But
yeah, exactly.
But I think that's a pretty good. That's a pretty good.
No, you gave a pretty good account of your reading interest. Well, tell me about your podcast. I'm totally interested. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. So Sarah and I have done two episodes of our Quick and Dirty Romance podcast, which is available on Podbean and iTunes. But what we're doing is we are podcasting in 30 minutes or less about our writer's life, our inspiration, our publishing journeys, what it's like to write those infamous sex scenes. That's part of our opening shtick. But basically, we're two romance authors and we're two friends, and we like to just talk about all things Romancelandia, but we do it in 30 minutes or less. And we actually just, about an hour before I got on with you, we filmed a little video that we're going to be throwing up to our brand new YouTube platform. And then our next full episode will come out in early January. We've been having a lot of fun and gotten some really great support. We got to do this really fun thing where we posted, our second episode was about meet cutes, you know, how the characters meet each other. Yes. And so we did this whole thing on meet cutes, and then we elicited real-life meetup stories. And we share some of them in the podcast, and then we got to post a bunch of people's narratives, real-life meeting stories, up to our Instagram and Twitter, just kind of sharing. And it's been such a beautiful thing, especially, I guess, at this time of year with all the brightness and love anyway. But it's been a really nice thing to be able to share all these real-life romance stories. I think it's been really beautiful. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're having a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I kind of got the idea to do this because I've done podcasting before. I did it a few years back, but I was doing more of a life coaching kind of scenarios, and that was really fun. I really enjoyed it. But then I thought the reason I started all this is because for the reasons we were talking about before the show was, you know, giving people platform to discuss their work, discuss their, you know, writing and whatever else, and giving advice to, you know, writers, new writers coming aboard, and, you know, all the other things that come into, you know, play with being an author. Because people, I think, just think that you just sit down, write a book, and then you publish it, and there's so much more than that.
Oh, girl. No. my publishing journey is an epic saga of its own. I'm imagining, a Lonesome Dove-style book, which is just, the scrawl, Sky's Journey. oh, my God, yeah. No, because I went out before I was an indie author, before I decided to start Antebell Books as a business and go into this on my own. I actually went out on submission and was agented and did all of that for about nearly 2 years, getting feedback from publishing houses. The response that I got was, really great writing, really good book, tore through it, no thank you. And, you know, one of the things that I'm super honored about is the fact that the reviews that are coming in for my book are super positive, and, I'm so honored. I love that. I just want people to read it and love it. I don't mean that, you have to love it. I just mean if I brighten up somebody's day, if I make someone have a nice time, feel some feels, and escape to a book, that's my job done. So the reviews are supporting the fact that it is, in fact, well-written, and I'm very grateful for that. But the publishing journey has been a long one, and it taught me a lot about myself and what I was trying to do in this world, and why I was trying to get these books out in the world anyway. It's definitely not. You sit down, you bang out a book. I mean, good Lord, the Occupable for Work is, I wrote it in the fall of 2014. And, so, you know, even in the romance genre, that's, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're coming down on our time. I just wanted make sure you got in where people can follow you on social media.
Oh, yes, they can. I am Writer Sky with an E, MCD. Writer Sky McD on Twitter and Instagram. I'm also I have an Amazon page. I have BookBub. I have Goodreads. Sky McDonald, you can find me, and I would be more than happy if you followed me.
That's great. Thank you for being with me today and sharing your journey. You're a fascinating guest. One of the best, honestly, one of the best interviews I've done. And
well,
I'll be
so
back
much.
Next I'll be back next week with Amanda McShane. She's another author. And thank you for joining me. And everyone have a happy holiday. Make it safe and have fun. Thank you for joining
yes,
me.
Happy holidays.
And
thank you.
And I will call you.
Okay.
Back. Sounds
good.
Is that all right? Okay.
Yep.
Thanks. Hold on.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, hold on.